And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Amen. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. No one knew quite what to make of it that morning, the empty tomb, the linen cloths that Joseph and Nicodemus had used to wrap Jesus' lifeless body just lying there. And it was clear that he was not there. But at the beginning of that day, they didn't know what that meant. And to be honest, we can say that it was a puzzling victory that Jesus displayed. For instance, if you and I, if we had been riding it, Jesus would shatter the stone that was blocking the exit from the tomb. He would have strode forth with light and power. He would have sent those guards running for their lives. He would have shown his enemies that they had accomplished nothing that last Friday. But that's not how Jesus did it. By the time anyone got to the tomb that morning, he was already gone. All they had to start with was the empty tomb. And they couldn't tell themselves, well, you know, he's not really gone. The emptiness of that tomb proclaimed his absence loudly. And I think it stands in stark contrast to a lie that our culture likes to tell in order to try and ease the pain of death and loss. You know the one, right, where someone will say, oh, you know, Aunt Jo isn't really gone. She lives on in all that she's done, right? The scarves that she knitted, the garden that she planted, her family, her friends, she's still with us. No. The dead are in their graves, and the fullness of those graves proclaims their absence from us loudly. But Jesus Christ, he was not in the grave. He left the tomb and death behind. And one of the things that means for us is that the grave is not where our lives end. For before his death, during his last supper in that upper room, Jesus told the disciples and he told us, I will come and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. If Jesus is not in the grave, then the grave is not our final resting place. And because Christ is raised, we are called. No, we are pulled. We are pulled along with him into life, even eternal life. And why? Because as Jesus told Mary, he has ascended to his Father and our Father, his God and our God. By joining himself to us in life and death, Jesus has joined us to his resurrection and ascension. And so in him, we are returned to God as our God. We know him as our creator, our Lord, goodness in itself. We know him as love. We know God and Christ also as our Father, who gives us the good we need, who calls us to life, who watches over us. We are reconciled to God in Christ so that we never need fear sin, judgment, or death ever again. And because Christ is raised, lives, and is ascended, we now understand in him that our life, our true life is above. Or St. Paul put it, our citizenship, that is, the way that we live our lives, the laws by which we live, our hopes, our responsibilities, the whole life that we share with others, our citizenship is from heaven. It is heaven's life that gives us life. It is heaven's light that shows us our path. It is heaven's ways that shape our minds and hearts. Our lives are now lived in Christ, and because he lives, his tomb is empty, and we are with him. And that means that we are called to be dead to our old lives, for we have died with Christ. Our old lives can't hold on to us. That life that we have from Adam and Eve, that was mired and lost, that was twisted by sin, alienated in darkness, that life can go to the grave and stay there. But Christ's tomb is empty, and with him, you leave the grave and the old body of sin behind. In Christ, risen and glorious, you leave behind sin, anger, fear, envy, hatred. With Christ raised, drawing you along with him, what part do you have in those things? They diminish life. But with Christ alive, you are given life. So live in him with grace and hope and confidence. Consider Luther. He's commenting on 1 Corinthians 15, the verse, "Death is swallowed up in victory." And he wrote, "This is a strange and unprecedented message, such as reason cannot comprehend. It must be accepted in faith. The message is that Christ is alive and yet dead, and dead in such a way that in him death itself had to die and lose all of its power. And as the Lord Christ has conquered death, he also conquered sin. For in his own person, he is pure and just. But because he takes upon himself the sins of others, he becomes a sinner. That is why sin could assault him. And he, the Lord Christ, is very ready to be assaulted and nailed to the cross in order that he may die, as if he himself had sinned and brought death upon himself. But there, hidden under the sin of others, his holiness is so great that death cannot overcome him. Thus sin, like death, attacked the wrong man, and so grew weak and died in his body. And likewise the devil wanted to prove his power over Christ and used all of his might against him, trying to bring him down, but he met with a higher power which he could not overcome. And all this has been brought in order that our Lord Christ might glory. Because by being cast down, he was lifted up on high, that these three mighty foes, sin, death, the devil, would lie low under his feet. This great victory is what we celebrate today. And all power consists in this, that we take it well to heart and firmly believe it." One of the readings at the graveside service is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and contains Paul's great boast against death. "Oh death, where is your sting? Oh death, where is your victory? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul can make this boast because of Christ. And we make this boast even in the midst of a cemetery, for we know that death is broken. When we experience the death of friends and family, we feel the sting, we fear the loss. But when we look to Christ, risen and alive, we know that death has no victory. And for those in Christ, death has no sting. As the psalmist declares, "I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord." That first Easter began with an empty tomb. It didn't seem like much, but it was more than enough. Death was undone. And Jesus came to Mary, calling her by name, asking her why she was weeping, and asking her, as he had asked the guards just 3 days earlier, "Whom do you seek?" Mary told the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she tells us that too. "For he lives, never more to die, for death has no more dominion over him. And because he lives, his tomb is forever empty. And you and I are given to live as those who know that the grave is not the end. For Christ is risen." Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Hallelujah, amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until his glorious appearing. Amen.